It's 12 noon, time for Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. On the program today, it's Willy Wonka the Musical, based on Roald Dahl's novel. And the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company opens its student production of that show this Thursday at Parkland College. And that runs for a couple of weekends. We've got some cast members. We'll hear some songs. And then later on the show, a harpsichordist and pianist, William Hylas of the University of Illinois Piano Faculty, is giving a recital this week, rather tonight, at the Krannert Center, the first of three University of Illinois Piano Faculty recitals that are happening this week, and we'll cover them all on Live and Local. Stay tuned. That was a wonderful tune called Gypsy Mania by Frank Vignola, featuring the Frank Vignola Trio with Gary Mazzaropi on the bass, and Vinnie Raniolo is the other guitarist, along with Frank Vignola, heard here on Live and Local on WYLL, FM and HD Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, we have, coming up a little later, pianist and harpsichordist William Hylas, who's giving a recital at the Krannert Center tonight. It's actually all harpsichord on that recital. And first, it's the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, Kathy Murphy student production of the musical Willy Wonka. And we have three of the stars of the show, four of the stars of the show, one, two, three, four, and also two of the directors with us and keyboardist. A veritable feast of music from Willy Wonka here on Live and Local. Thanks all of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay, Patty Dudley, you are the stage director of this thing. Did you have something to do with choosing Willy Wonka?
No, I just got chosen to do the directing. But it's been a real challenge because Willy Wonka's been told all over the world, and so we wanted to make it unique. So we have some great unique special effects and some great voices. So I think it'll be a real special show.
Let's pretend that there's somebody out there in our listening audience who has never heard of Willy Wonka. Who's Willy Wonka? That's a very silly name, I've got to admit.
Well, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory book was written by Roald Dahl, and that is an adaptation of that book. But Willy Wonka is a factory owner of candy, chocolate and all kinds of candies. And in the story, he decides he wants to retire, and so he's trying to find the right person to take over his factory. And we see different personalities of children that he kind of, in quotes, interviews, and then he finds the right one to take over his factory. So there's all kinds of silliness and fun in between all of that.
And some rather interesting characters, with Charlie being probably the least interesting.
Well, yes. But he's awfully cute. He's awfully cute.
And well, you but do you know what I mean. He's not exactly eccentric.
Right. But you do fall in love with him because he's very simple and he's kind and he's honest. So I think he's the best character of all.
Well, of course he is. I mean, those who know the story, it won't be a giveaway to say who wins in the end, but tell us about some of these other characters. We have one of them with us here in the name of Violet Beauregard.
We have Violet, and she likes to chew gum, and that's what she does all the time, and she sings with her gum in her mouth, and she's not very nice to her mom. And then we have Veruca, who is very spoiled. Veruca Salt, and she wants everything. Everything she sees, she wants, and she's very bratty. And then Augustus is from Germany, and he eats everything he sees. He eats. And
what was his last name? Gloop or
Gloop.
Something.
Augustus, yeah. Gloop. And then we have Charlie Bucket, and he is from a very poor family, and. And Mike TV. Oh, yeah, Mike TV. I forgot. Mike TV, thank you.
And guess what Mike likes to do?
Watch TV and play video games and talk on the phone. Go figure. But anyway, back to Charlie. He's from a very poor family and very simple, and you really do. It's very endearing to the audience. So.
And he's accompanied by his grandfather.
Grandpa Joe, right, who hasn't gotten out of bed in 20 years, is it? And finally, he gets to go to the factory and goes with Charlie, and they have an adventure in the chocolate factory.
Well, I really ought to read this story again. It's been a very, 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 very long time. But my godson, his favorite author is Roald Dahl. So he's working through. He's 11. Is he 11? He's 8.
Eight.
I'm mixing up with somebody else. And he's working through all of the Roald Dahl books, I think. Maybe he's even gotten through all of them. But I haven't read this in a long time. But apparently I remember the story, mostly from the movie, though.
Right.
Which starred Gene Wilder. There's only been one movie. No, there's been two movie renditions.
Gene Wilder and Johnny Depp. And, of course, there's the Oompa Loompas.
Yes.
And you'll be pleasantly surprised at how good our Oompa Loompas, the ages between 8 and 11, are.
Actually, my godson might be one of them. He's in the show.
Oh.
Is David Cerezo.
I didn't know that was. Yes, he is. He's an Oompa Loompa.
There you go. Because I just asked his dad, will I recognize him on the stage? I guess he probably doesn't know yet because you haven't. Have you started with costumes?
Oh, yes.
We're starting tonight. Everybody's seen their costume, but we're actually going to use our costumes.
Wearing them tonight. Correct. And that is the voice of Charlie Bucket. Gabe Halsted Alvarez, did I say your name right?
Yeah.
More or less? Yeah. Well, let's launch into some music. I know you've brought at least three songs to sing. What do we want to start with first?
Would you like to start, Charlie, and Mr. Bucket?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, is this Mr. Bucket the father or Mr. Bucket the grandfather?
The father.
The father, played by Eli Kazum. And this is a song called Think Positive. How would you set this up for us?
Well, Mr. Bucket has just found out that his minimum wage job at the toothpaste factory has just been cut as the factory is moving overseas. So as poor as they were before, he is now jobless and is just kind of feeling really down and not too happy right now. And so Charlie comes to give him a little boost in spirit.
So this doesn't sound like quite the version of the story that was in the book. I mean, the script has gotten adapted somehow or another?
It's definitely adapted, and not only that, Kevin, it's adapted to today because Mike TV talks about Oprah and Wii and Nintendo and cell phones. So it's a different twist to the story, but a lot of the nostalgia in the story is still there.
So this is the CUTC didn't make the adaptation. It was made before it
Correct.
Got to you.
Right.
Okay. All right. So Gabe Halsted Alvarez is Charlie Bucket, and Eli Kazum is Mr. Bucket, his father's Think Positive from Willy Wonka, the musical, put on by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company starting this week.
You've nothing to lose, so why not choose to think positive? Whenever my luck is on the blink, I think positive. Whenever I'm feeling down and out and don't know what to do, I never give way to fear and doubt, 'cause thinking positive sees me through. Whenever my stars are out of sync, I think positive. I write my thoughts down in purple ink and think positive. Remember this song, when things go wrong, then you'll know what to do. In no time, you'll be thinking positive too. Come on, Papa, sing with me. Whenever I think I'm in the drink, I think
positive?
Not negative. Whenever my luck goes down the sink, I think
positive.
That's more like it. Whenever you're feeling low or lost, just take a tip from me.
You're wasting your time to count the cost, 'cause thinking positive, that comes free.
Right.
Positive is the way to be. Whenever I'm teetering on the brink, I think positive. The moment I do, I'm in the pink, thinking positive. Remember this song, when things go wrong, then you'll know what to do. In no time, you'll be thinking positive too.
Gabe Halsted Alvarez is Charlie Bucket. Eli Kazum is Mr. Bucket. The song Think Positive from the musical Willy Wonka. Who wrote the music to this? Oh, we're all saying, keep looking. I actually forgot to bring in my printout.
There we go. You can say it, Michelle.
Saved by the script.
It was written by Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley.
Oh, really? No yes. kidding. The same people who wrote the music for Oliver.
Oh, you're good. I didn't know that.
I hope
that.
I'm correct about that, but I believe so.
Well, now, there are some songs in the show that are nostalgic to the movie, especially the Gene Wilder one.
I'm not right about that, by the way.
Oliver, oh, you're not?
Lionel Bart wrote the music for Oliver.
Okay, he stands corrected.
Now I have to think about what show I'm thinking about. Sorry, continue.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I know that it bugs you when you think, am I right or not?
I'm completely bugged.
But
but
there are some songs that are nostalgic, but then there are ones that have been rewritten as well that are a little more contemporary.
Rewritten for this version of the show.
Right, right.
But people who've seen the first movie, and I haven't seen the second one. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Not when I saw the trailers with, yeah. I mean, I love Johnny Depp, but I just, ugh.
Yeah. The cast doesn't prefer that one. They prefer the first one.
Good cast.
Yes.
Good cast. And your show opens Thursday.
Thursday, so you probably have the dates there. Do you want me to say them?
I want you to because I left them on my desk.
Oh, okay. It's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. There is a matinee on the 19th at 2:30. Otherwise, it's a 7:30 production.
And two of the cast members here have turned their backs to us because it's on their T-shirts. 17th through the 20th and the 25th through the 27th.
And both of the Saturdays have matinees as well as the Sundays are matinees. Otherwise, the shows are at 7:30.
And for those who are used to seeing the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company at the Virginia Theater, you need to know that it is not going to be there. You will go and find no one. It's going to be at the Parkland College Theater for all of those performances. It's a much smaller space, which is why so many more performances.
Right.
And it's also not as expensive to rent.
That's right. It's been nice to be there.
But, of course, Virginia undergoing some renovations.
That's true.
As the summer progresses. Gabe, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
And what school do you go to?
I go to Edison Middle School.
You have been to Edison, or are you starting at Edison?
Well, I've actually been to Edison. I'm going into 7th this year, so.
Is it exciting for you?
Yes, very exciting.
And are you a fan of this particular book?
Yes, I've read it about twice, and I've seen the movies probably multiple times.
And are you a fan of the first movie? Or you like both of them?
I've watched it because the first movie actually includes a lot more music than the second.
Oh, does it? A little extra focus on Johnny Depp, maybe, in the second movie? Yeah. And what do you think about yourself is rather like or not like Charlie Bucket?
Well, I would have to say I know Charlie's curious, but I'm usually curious most of the time, but... But I'm very positive and outgoing, I guess.
Are you a good-hearted soul?
Yeah, most of the times.
I won't ask for details on the other times. And Eli, you're how old?
18.
So you have just been a high school senior?
Yes, I just graduated Centennial.
And now what?
Now I'm going to U of I next year.
For what?
College of Media, majoring in broadcast journalism.
Good for you.
Yay!
I have an internship you could apply for.
All right.
Here for Live and Local, as a matter of fact. We have not heard yet from, are we going to hear Willy Wonka next?
Yes, that'd
sure.
be great.
That'd be fine.
Willy Wonka is played by Colin Murphy, who has actually been in this studio once before in another lead role of Sweeney Todd for Central High School in Champaign.
Correct.
And have you finished there yet? Are you still?
No, I'm going to be a senior next year.
And that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, and how have you had to, well, I can't imagine two more different characters except from the fact that they're relatively nuts, Sweeney Todd versus Willy Wonka. Talk a little bit about your preparation for the two of them.
Well, Sweeney Todd was obviously, as you said, a much more dark role, and so that was completely different than my preparation for Willy Wonka, is that the way I see Willy Wonka is he he's a very eccentric character who enjoys his life in just a different way than many other people do. And so he just has a different view on other things in life. And he's just enjoying his life. He's not necessarily crazy. He's just very different and quirky.
Well, actually, you used a great word, eccentric, versus Sweeney Todd is
just
unbalanced.
A bit unbalanced, yes.
Yeah, to say the least. What are you going to sing for us?
Pure Imagination.
And set this up for us. Where does this come in the show, and what has happened?
It comes at the beginning of the show, as well as the beginning of Act Two, and it's basically Willy Wonka's thesis on life, and that imagination is the greatest gift that a child can have, and you should appreciate it for as long as you can, even if that means being an adult and having as wild as an imagination as you can.
As Willy Wonka certainly does.
Yes.
Colin Murphy is Willy Wonka, with Cat Downs as our accompanist here, this is from Champaign-Urbana Theater's Theater Company's student production of the show, which opens Thursday at Parkland College. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in a world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Wanna change the world? There's nothing. I know to compare with pure imagination. So go there to be free if you truly wish to be.
Colin Murphy in the song Willy Wonka, as Willy Wonka in the show. Is the official title just Willy Wonka?
Yes. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Or probably technically Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Yeah. Song called Pure Imagination with Cat Downs on the piano here on Live and Local. Our programs today are made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy the free Krannert Uncorked wine tasting in the lobby on Thursday, June 17th at 5 p.m., featuring the ragtime piano music of Faye Ballard. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. Vocal director for the show is Michelle Barr, and she's with us on Live and Local as well. Talk about some of the joys and challenges of working with this particular cast.
Well, this is my second time working with a student production. Last time I worked with Les Miserables, and I found both times the cast to be really joyful to work with and really excited to be working on a production. This is something all the kids really enjoy doing, and they, you know, it's a really hard process to get in. It's really competitive. There's auditions. Lots of people don't get in who are still talented. So the kids who are here really work hard. I find this show is a little more challenging than Les Mis vocally, just because it's a younger group of children. We have a lot more middle schoolers involved and as young as 8-year-olds. Last year in Les Mis, it was mostly high school students.
So I was glad you qualified that statement, because I was going to have guessed that this would have been an easier show vocally, but the qualification, I guess, is that because they're younger students.
Yeah, since this show actually has some tricky harmonies, 3 parts, 2 parts, and a lot of the younger kids really haven't experienced that yet. So working with the different age levels and balancing out their skill level was probably the challenge. But they all worked so hard and just got it. We had great ears. Great voices.
Michelle and Patty talk a little bit about the Kathy Murphy student production in general. It started several years ago with the first time they did Les Mis. But what's the idea behind it? How far a reach do you hope that the auditions will have? Who gets in the cast? You know, and so on.
There are several schools around the communities, not just Champaign-Urbana, that are represented in the production. And I know Cullen could probably address this even better because she was very special to him as aunt, right, your
yes.
aunt? Mm-hmm. And she just had a dream to give young people an opportunity to be able to perform on the big stage and experience a production that maybe they wouldn't be able to experience in the schools. We have 35 Oompa Loompas, and they're, as we said, ages between 8 and 12, I think, and then 20 what we call chorus of cooks. And so it's given those kids a great opportunity, as Kathy, I know, had a heart for, to be a cast of all different ages, really. And it's worked out well. They don't kind of, oh, I don't know, they kind of get on their groups, but the older ones help the younger ones, and sometimes the younger ones are more well-behaved than the older ones. But but you were asking about Kathy Murphy. Do you want to address that a little bit better than I do,
well,
Cullen?
She definitely had a big vision for giving kids the opportunity to do something. Because I know high schools try and do as big of shows as possible, but having as many schools as you can, I believe there are 13 cities maybe represented by this, and having that big of an opportunity to do a huge show just in high school, and that's just such a great opportunity at a young age. And also some kids that don't get to do shows in their grade school. I mean, I was really fortunate that I got to do shows all throughout grade school and middle school because I went to Holy Cross, but some kids don't get to do that, and the fact that they can come here and do really, like, high-quality shows, and the directors expect a lot of us, and so just having that challenge and that push is basically what she envisioned.
Did you want to? Oh.
You look like you were going to, somebody was going to leap into something.
There is a Kathy Murphy scholarship also that was started last year, and I'm not sure what is in there at this point, but it's for kids who want to come
into theater.
Yeah, that want to go into theater in college, and it's building, and people have contributed to it, and you can find out about that when you call the CUTC office.
And you can go to their website as well, CUTC.org. We're talking about the show Willy Wonka, which opens on Thursday. It runs through the turnaround there again, Gabe, and show me your T-shirt. The 17th through the 20th and the 25th through the 27th at Parkland College. Thank you very much. You have the picture of the golden ticket, which figures early in the show as well. Gabe, as Charlie Bucket, tell me what your character thinks of Violet Beauregard.
Well, that's a very good question. He thinks she's a brat because he thinks everybody's a brat, but he doesn't say it out loud because he's a very humble person. But he thinks he's really good-hearted in the play, and he doesn't think much of other people, but he acknowledges other people's, like, how they act and how nice they act.
But Charlie is not completely beyond getting in trouble himself,
as I recall. He doesn't get in trouble. He's a very...
Ever?
Well, I don't...
The fizzy lifting room.
Well,
yeah.
The fizzy lifting room.
He just about gets himself done in.
That part.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked about Violet Beauregard is that she's actually here in the guise of Taylor Likens, and she's going to sing a song for us as well. You is this a thrill for you to be able to for once be involved in a show or a choir in which you are not only allowed but probably required to chew gum?
I actually don't like gum at all, and this is my third time playing Violet, so I've gotten kind of used to chewing the gum throughout the shows and songs. So it's kind of different, and I have a lot of people that are asking, oh, can I borrow some gum? Can I have some gum? I'm like, you guys have to go on stage. I'm really sorry. If you didn't have to go, I would give you some, but
yeah,
it's
go.
Just, I go through like 4 packs a week of gum for practicing.
Third time playing this character? How has that happened?
I have done the show twice at Sullivan Little Theater on the Square, and I did it about 2 and 3 years ago, so I did the show 2 separate years.
Wow. So you're a serious veteran. We should expect incredibly great things out of this character by now. You've gotten lots of insight into it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always try to change my character a little bit from what I used to play it, so it's different. So if someone did go to all three, they would find different characteristics of Violet in each show.
For example?
So, for example, in this one, between Veruca and Violet, there's a lot more competition of who's better, and there is just more personality from her towards her mom of how she dislikes her mom telling her what to do. So she wants to take control of the whole situation, basically.
And Violet is the one, by virtue of her name, who ends up like being blown up into a blueberry, pretty much?
Yes, she chews a piece of gum that Willy Wonka told her not to chew, and it was a three-course dinner. And then the dessert was blueberry ice cream, and she turned into a blueberry from chewing it.
Yeah, and how did she become unblueberried?
The Oompa Loompas take her off stage and
suck the juice out of her.
Yep.
So that would be an interesting special effect if you did that on stage, but we don't get to see
that. We are doing it on stage.
Oh, you are doing it on stage.
But
oh,
I'm not
good.
Tell how.
That's fine.
You'll have to come and see.
We
you
don't
will see
need
her
to
blow
know.
Up from little Taylor, little Violet to a big blueberry.
Although Taylor's not as little as she used to be.
Yeah, she's
Taylor's going to sing a song called "Chew It," as Violet Beauregard here from Willy Wonka on Live and Local with Champaign Urbana Theater Company. Cat Downs is the pianist.
I only have one dream in life. There's very little to it. To own one stick of lifelong gum and all I've longed to chew it. I chew it all through childhood. I chew it when I wed. If I survive to 95, I'll chew it till I'm dead.
But this gum here's much better than that one. This gum here is a three-course dinner. Pea soup, roast beef, and blueberry ice cream. Blueberry is the nicest ice cream. You may feel fat, but in fact you're thinner. Even after a three-course dinner.
That gum is so mine. It's delicious. It really tastes like pea soup. Oh, and here comes the roast beef. Fantastic. So tender and juicy.
But the blueberry ice cream.
I'll bet it's the dye.
That's what I'm worried about. The dye. Violet, you're so busted, that gum is gonna do it. Her candy fame's gone down the drain, I told her not to chew it.
Too late, Willy, nothing to it, cause I know just how to chew it. There is no need to poo-poo it, all I have to do is do it.
Violet, it's so bad for you.
Yo, Violet, dude, you're turning blue. What you gonna do, just stand there singing, am I blue? She's turning blue, it's true. Oh, Violet, you are now bright blue.
That rotten, lousy gum, I knew it. Blueberry blue and fat to sue it. I guess I blew it. Blew it. Blew it. Blew it.
With assistance from Colin Murphy as Willy Wonka and Gabe Halsted Alvarez as Charlie Bucket, that was Taylor Likens as Violet Beauregard, the song Chew It. Here on Live and Local. Support for our show today comes from Rodney G. Peacock, presenting Noontide Festival Month, June 18th through July 11th at Fullinger Auditorium, with music, poetry, and drama, highlighted by a concert by Rodney George Peacock and with his original drama, The Noontide Trilogy, July 2nd through the 11th. Information under events at fullinger.illinois.edu. Coming up, we have a conversation with harp pianist and harpsichordist William Hylas of the University of Illinois faculty. He's giving a harpsichord recital tonight at the Kranert Center, and we'll be hearing some samples of the music he's going to be playing on that program. I want to say thanks to everybody who's come in on the show today. Thanks, Kat, for playing the piano for the songs. And you've been the pianist through the audition, from auditions through the rehearsals, or just
yes,
you start with rehearsals?
The rehearsal accompanist as well as playing in the orchestra pit.
Yeah, and just one pianist for this particular show?
There are actually two people playing keyboards for the show because we have a lot of special effects kind of sounds.
Well, I heard one of them under a Willy Wonka song. as well. And to the stage director, who is Patty Dudley, and vocal director, Michelle Barr. And who's going to be leading the orchestra?
It's Aaron Kaplan.
Aaron Kaplan, okay. And Colin Murphy, Taylor Likens, Gabe Halstead Alvarez, and Eli Kazum as Mr. Bucket, also in the cast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you.
And best of luck with it. If you want tickets, go to cutc.org, or do they call the Parkland College box office?
No, it's strictly cutc.org.
Okay.
And you can buy tickets online as well if you go to that website.
Great, which is a new thing for the company as well. That's great. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay with us. Christopher Hogwood playing the opening movement from the French Suite No. 1 in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear the entire suite as well as one of Bach's English suites and a partita of his and some more music as well played by harpsichordist William Hylas tonight at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30. And Bill Hylas is with me on the show right now here on Live and Local. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And this is part of what was supposed to have been the Summer Piano Institute, which I just read at the end of last week, ended up getting canceled.
There wasn't enough registration for this year, but we're anticipating it will be back in full swing next year.
Yeah. Were finances at all involved? Or
I could imagine that the economy in general has put a damper on many activities of this sort. It's too bad, but we're hoping, again, as I said, that we'll be back in business next year.
Well, I know that for economic reasons, the summer theater at the Krannert Center isn't happening this summer either. So it's really, we hope that we all get pulled out of this thing soon because the arts are suffering in one way or in many, many ways as a result. But, of course, that's not what you're here to talk about. You're here to talk about Bach and the harpsichord and I guess whatever else I ask you. But but I am interested in your interest in the harpsichord because you do quite a number of recitals. And some of them are on the piano, but you perform on harpsichord fairly often.
I consider myself, of course, a pianist first and foremost. But I've loved the music of Bach ever since I was a child. And when I joined the faculty here and discovered there was an excellent harpsichord available, I decided I wanted to stick my toes in the water, or my fingers in the water, that is, and really try playing Bach's music on the harpsichord. And I enjoyed it from the very beginning. So I have used harpsichord often in Bach performances, though not entirely. Over the last several years, I've been playing a lot of preludes and fugues on the piano. And one of the interesting things is the difference in the way that I, as a player, experience the music on the two different instruments.
And can you describe that a little bit?
It's not all that easy to describe. I think two very important aspects play into it. The difference in timbre of the two instruments, the piano, of course, and I'm talking now about our modern pianos, has a much thicker and richer tone quality than the harpsichord, which is has advantages and disadvantages. For box music, that is perhaps more of a disadvantage than an advantage, because with the thickness of texture, contrapuntal textures become much harder to clarify. The other major difference, of course, is that on the piano, you can make dynamic nuances as you play. You can play one note louder than another note, which you cannot do on the harpsichord. On the harpsichord, other means, particularly articulation and timing, fill what some pianists might consider a gap, but I don't think harpsichordists feel that that's a gap at all. So one is very aware of the possibilities and limitations of each instrument that one plays.
Talk a little bit about, just for those who are not familiar with the operational aspects of the two instruments, about how one hits, one plucks, and how does that affect what you can do with the sound?
Yes, very good question. On the piano, when you press the key, you are essentially throwing a hammer at the string. So the faster you push the key down, the faster the hammer is propelled towards the string, and therefore the louder the sound that's created. On the harpsichord, when you press the key down, you are, as a lever action, you're raising what we call a jack inside the instrument, and in that jack is mounted a little piece of plastic. That is, these days it's plastic. Back in box time, they use bird quill, which actually plucks the string. The loudness of the sound is pretty much dependent, in fact, really entirely dependent, on the thickness of that piece of plastic, or in the olden days, bird quill. It's called a plectrum. So it doesn't matter how fast you press the key, the sound, the dynamic level of the sound, the loudness or softness of the sound is going to be the same. The plucking in the on the harpsichord creates a very, very clear attack of every note. On the other hand, the relative lightness of the instrument means that notes decay much faster than on the piano. So those are the difference in sound production partly explains, I think, the difference in timbre. It's interesting that while on the piano you have, in a sense, the control, I mean, more than in a sense, you really do have the control of the dynamic level of every note you play, you as a player are not in contact with the sound production. By pressing the key, you have thrown a hammer at the string. On the harpsichord, however, you are in contact with the tone production. If you press a key rather slowly, you can feel the plectrum gradually give way and then pluck the string. You can feel the production of the sound, which is a very gratifying feeling for a harpsichordist.
So it's a step or two removed, a mechanical step or two removed from, say, on a harp where you're actually plucking it with your fingers.
That's quite right.
Whereas with a piano, it's entirely removed.
Yes.
Except from the fact that you're setting off a mechanical exchange.
That's a very good way of putting it.
I was thinking of it because we just had some harps here a week ago for the Summer Harp Institute, and I can imagine the gratification of that sort. Well, let's hear a little bit more, Bach. This is from another of the pieces you're going to be playing on tonight's concert. We're talking with William Hylas, who's going to give a harpsichord recital at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30, and playing the first of the French suites, the fourth of the English suites, and the fourth of the keyboard partitas, from which we're going to hear the Sarabande. This is a very different harpsichordist. I guess he could be called an older school harpsichordist than Christopher Hogwood, Gustav Leonhardt, one of the earlier famous harpsichordists.
One of my heroes.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, we'll hear why maybe in just a moment. Here's Gustav Leonhardt playing some Bach from his Partita No. 4 on Live and Local. Gustav Leonhardt performing the Sarabande from the Partita No. 4 in D major of Johann Sebastian Bach. You can hear the complete partita on tonight's recital at the Krannert Center by William Hylas at 7:30. He is on the faculty of the University of Illinois School of Music in the piano division. And there's going to be two other recitals from piano faculty this week. Rochelle Sennett is giving hers on Wednesday evening at 7:30, and Ian Hobson performing on Thursday evening at 7:30, and I think we'll have each of them here on the show over the next couple of days as well. William Hylas is with me on this portion of Live and Local, and you said Gustav Leonhardt was one of your heroes. What makes him so?
Because he plays so beautifully. Listening to him now play that Sarabande that's on my program this evening, I feel I really have to go home and practice it for an hour or two.
Only an hour or two, huh?
That's just for the Sarabande.
Yeah, and that's considering that your recital's tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, what did he do that you either think you aren't doing or think you need to do better or differently, or what did you particularly admire besides just the general beauty?
Well, of course, no two players are going to play the same piece the same way on any instrument. His tempo, I think, is a little bit slower than mine, and I found some beauties that arose because of the slower tempo. I think that his sense of the harpsichord resonance is a very beautiful one. His use of, let's say, finger pedaling in certain places, which is also something that I strive for a good deal in my playing. It's really the equivalent of the use of the damper pedal in piano playing, but it's a more specialized and kind of exquisite form of it. So I always find in Leonhardt's playing great integrity, a great seriousness, and a really beautiful sense of rhythm.
And from Bach, which is most of your program, to Jörg Ligeti, how did you end up at including some music by Ligeti on this program?
Well, I've always admired Ligeti's music, of course, and I've played some of the piano music, several of the etudes, which are very effective piano pieces, quite challenging, but worth the effort that one puts into them. The two harpsichord pieces of Ligeti that I'm playing tonight are his two pieces for classical harpsichord. There is an earlier harpsichord piece called Continuum, which does not work on a classical harpsichord. That is one modeled after the harpsichords of Bach's day with the small number of possible registers involved. But both of these pieces, on the one hand, are based on Baroque forms. One is a passacaglia, one is a chaconne. And on the other hand, are written very beautifully for the harpsichord. For a classical harpsichord like the one that I'll be playing tonight, that is like the instruments that Bach and his contemporaries were familiar with, Ligeti has understands so well the sound of the instruments and the feel of the articulation that goes with playing, and the balance of the melody against accompaniment. It's just ideally suited for that instrument.
And remind me, because I'm actually forgetting, where is Ligeti from?
Hungary.
He is from Hungary. And this piece that we're going to hear next, which is one of the two on your program, is called Hungarian Rock. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, rock, I think, means just what we think of as rock music. Both these pieces date from 1978, which was perhaps more a heyday of rock than today. So fast, repetitious in the underlying rhythm, unremitting, full of energy, rather wild in effect, with a surprisingly introspective soft coda and slow coda at the end.
And we may or may not get to that soft coda. We may just hear part of this. Now, having described the wonderful way in which he writes for the harpsichord, we are now actually going to hear this played on the piano, because we don't have a recording here on the harpsichord. And it says here, Gloria Cheng is playing this in an arrangement for piano and synthesized piano. I don't know what the synthesized part means, because I confess I haven't listened to it through. So we'll find out together.
Yes.
It's George Ligeti's Hungarian Rock for harpsichord, here played in the piano by Gloria Cheng on Live and Local. Getting a sense of that piece by George Ligeti, his Hungarian Rock, originally for harpsichord, played on piano here by Gloria Cheng, and a nice sense of humor to it, and as Bill Hyla said, a lot of incessant energy, I guess, interpreting some of what you said anyway. And Professor Hylas will be playing that piece on the harpsichord, along with another work of Ligeti's, and three great works of Bach, one English suite, one French suite, and one partita. The concert starts at 7:30. It's in the Follinger Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. And thanks for coming in on the show.
Thank you, Kevin.
And best of luck on the recital.
Thank you.
Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or thecorkscrew.com. Here's some other performances you can go see in our area. In Urbana tonight at V. Picasso in downtown Urbana, guitar, piano, and vocal. You know, I don't even see any names attached to this now that I'm mentioning it. Well, some unnamed duet between piano, guitar, and vocals. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. The Ruthless Goats are playing at Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood tomorrow night at 5:30. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan continues its presentation of the musical Showboat tomorrow and through the weekend. It's Free Range Fiddle playing at the Farmer's Market in Uptown Normal. I think that's this afternoon at about 4:30. If you've seen a listing for pianist Boaz Sharon, that recital tomorrow night at the Krannert Center has been canceled. Lisa Cerezo and Steve Meadows are performing at Memphis on Main tomorrow night at 9 o'clock in downtown Champaign, vocals and guitar. And George Turner on guitar plays jazz at V. Picasso in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Occasional showers and thunderstorms in the forecast for this afternoon, with some locally heavy rainfall possible, the high 85. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this evening with a low of 68. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of around 82 degrees. We're currently at 82, as a matter of fact. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.